Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This hour of the Annie Fry Show is sponsored by The Loading Dock, with a unique and beautiful ice skating rink to enjoy this time of year. Go to GraftonLoadingDock.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's a beautiful Wednesday, and we are glad that you're sharing some of your Wednesday with us. So thank you for joining us here. A quick reminder, if you're just getting back to the office or what have you from lunch, you can take us with you wherever you go on the Odyssey app. Just download it on your phone. Find 97.1 FM Talk. You can find the Annie Fry Show. Our podcasts are there as well. And we always feature our guests on the podcast. So if you miss one and you know, DeRoy Murdoch is coming up and you didn't get to hear him, you can always go back and check the podcast out and hear that wonderful interview. Like the one we're about to do right now, DeRoy Murdoch joins us. He is the Fox News contributor joining us each Wednesday. DeRoy, hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Welcome back to the show.
Annie, great to be with you again. I had a Friendsgiving with some friends of mine here in New York. My family lives in California, so it's a little too far to go for a weekend and then turn around and go back for Christmas. So I usually see friends back east and then my relatives out in California for Christmas time.
That's still can be a very happy holiday that way.
Absolutely.
I always am interested just in my own personal experience of taking some time off. I took about 5 days off, took some time with my family, had a close relative of mine that we laid to rest on Monday. She lived to be 101 and a half years old.
Wow.
Which is just fantastic.
Wow. A life condolences and congratulations. That's amazing.
Yeah, for sure. You take time away and you focus on, honestly, the things that really do matter in life. And then you slowly dip your toe back in the water to get back to work. And it's like, I don't know if I want to do this. And I'm looking at everything that's going on today. Certainly the Supreme Court hearing this morning and the direction of the Democratic Party, the questions on the direction of the Republican Party, if they're going to be successful in 2022. And the one thing that continues to come up each and every time I have this conversation on the air, the comments I receive, is people want to be certain that the election system is going to fortify one vote, one person, one citizen. And I think that that is one of the biggest concerns that Americans have, probably on both sides of the aisle going forward. What do you think?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are concerned about the quality of our elections, the reliability of our elections. Some people, unfortunately, have stopped voting because they figure, what's the point of casting a ballot if it's not going to be counted? And I think in Georgia, we probably lost two GOP Senate seats because people figured, well, they're not going to count my vote, so I'll just stay home. And those people actually showed up and voted Republican. Mitch McConnell would be the Senate Majority Leader, and Joe Biden's entire legislative agenda looked totally different than it does now. So I think restoring confidence in our elections and actually rehabilitating election integrity is something absolutely valid in this country. I've traveled around the world. I've observed elections overseas, and I think it's almost insulting to call our election third world level. That's an insult to the third world, which where you actually do things like in Mexico and in African countries, show up with an ID card so they know who you are. I saw something in Nicaragua, which we ought to do here, a very simple thing. When you cast your ballot in person, you take your finger and you dip it in a little inkwell. So you have a purple finger, basically. And that means if you try to show up and vote again, they'll say, well, you've got a purple finger. Get out of here. Something simple like that would be helpful in this country. And I mentioned people actually showing up on Election Day, as they do in most other countries. Here, Election Day has turned into Election Week and Election Month and Election Quarter. And you've got people who've been voting for president. I know this happened in 2016. People in North Carolina were voting for president before the first Hillary Clinton, Donald J. Trump debate. That, to me, is sick. That's just reprehensible. So I think we really need to go back to the idea of voting on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November, and we'll make a decision on the same date, and with all the, everyone having all the same information, not, you know, voting in October or late September, and then something happens a week before the election, and go, oh, gee, that changes my mind. I wish I could get my ballot back, and unfortunately, it's in a pile, and there's nothing you can do about it.
You know, Droy, when you're making, first of all, when you talk about dipping your finger in and the ink, I'm from Illinois, so I just assume that Illinois would be like, well, you have 10 fingers, so. But anyway, I digress. If you listen to people advocate for longer voting periods and everything, there's always this, it boggles my mind. I don't know if you can explain it to me, but there's the suggestion that having a voting day is somehow racist. Like, where do those dots connect? Because I failed to do it myself.
Yeah, I don't see where they connect. I mean, this is all based on the idea that somehow black folks and maybe Hispanics are just not smart enough or not organized enough or not prepared enough to get down to the polls on Tuesday, Election Day, and find the time to go do it. You know, if we need to move elections to weekends, I think that's fine. You make it a national holiday and say, all right, we're going to vote from, you know, midnight on Friday going to Saturday until Saturday going to Sunday. And somewhere in that whole period, Jews, Christians and Muslims all will be able to find some time that doesn't conflict with their holy days, and people will be home from work. They'll be able to find somewhere in those 24 hours. And if we need to bring in retirees or the National Guard or whatever it takes to watch the polls, you know, so be it. I'd much rather have that situation than what we've got now, which is just, you know, chaos. And by the way, even if you have, this is something that actually was a concern a couple of years ago. You had early voting in 2016, and you've got all these ballots sitting around for weeks or months. Now, it obviously opens things up to people playing games and, you know, opening up the ballots and saying, okay, you voted for the wrong person, your ballot goes in the garbage. Or even if people are totally honest and upright and decent, you know, you can have a fire in the building that's holding the ballots. You could have a flood come in. I know in Katrina we had in New Orleans this huge flood that came in and flooded the evidence room at the New Orleans Police Department, and all the evidence that was held for criminal trials got soaked in Mississippi River water, and they had to throw a bunch of cases out. Well, the same thing could happen to ballots. And imagine all of a sudden you've got a tight election, you've got, you know, 25,000 ballots from some city that suddenly got flooded, and the entire election hinges on North Carolina or Georgia, or it could be Missouri for that matter, and we don't know who really won because we've got all these ballots we can't read because they're soaked in, you know, water, or they got blown away in a tornado. You know, you limit the possibility that kind of thing happens if the ballots are all cast and counted on one day rather than cast on, you know, September 25th, and they sit around for 6 weeks until Election Day when they're finally counted. It just opens up many more opportunities either for skullduggery or for honest accidents and mishaps.
We're speaking with Fox News contributor Droy Murdoch right now. You know, I don't know how much of the SCOTUS hearing on abortion you were able to listen to today, but comparing
none
what you,
actually.
Well, I can sum up this
I was
point.
At the doctor.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm always amazed at the progressive left's position. You know, when we're talking about racism in voting terms and suggesting, you know, like you said, that maybe it's too complicated for people to figure out how to go vote. There was a point in the hearing today that an advocate for abortion was saying that we need to be able to have access for abortion for people who are post 15 weeks because there are poor women who are unable to navigate the healthcare system that need to have access to abortion. I mean, like, there's always this proposition that the poor people, they did talk about minorities as well, specifically in Mississippi because of the case, that these people are just too inept to be able to handle their situation for themselves. So, you know, in the voting case, it's we need to be able to have election or have voting for a month just to make sure that even those people can vote. And in the abortion conversation, it's like we need to allow them to abort their babies because they might not be smart enough to do it before 15 weeks. And the left is always willing to step in and make all of those decisions for the people that they determine to not be intelligent enough to make those decisions for yourself. This is quite consistent with the left, don't you think?
Yes, it's very condescending. It's very racist. The idea that somehow, well, you know, the blacks and Hispanics just can't get it together. You know, we saw this in I forget which school district basically decided not to do Halloween because apparently I guess some of the black kids or Hispanic kids didn't have the money to buy masks and costumes. They said, well, just cancel it for everybody. You know, why not say, look, if we've got kids who are too poor for masks, whatever their races are, we'll have a fundraising drive. We'll sell cookies, bake sale, whatever, and raise some money. Buy some costumes for the kids who can't afford them, and all the kids can have a delightful, lovely Halloween. Wouldn't that be nice? But instead, let's ruin it for everybody because they assume, you know, blacks and Hispanics are just you know, unable to buy costumes. Here in New York, our wonderful communist mayor, Mayor de Bolshevik, as I call him, he's about to leave. Thank God, he's almost out of our hair. One of his last acts was to get rid of the gifted and talented program in education, again, because apparently they're upset that there are so many Asian kids in the program and not that many blacks or Hispanics. So let's get rid of the whole thing for everybody. Why not
racist.
Say, look, I think it is. If the scores for black and Hispanic kids are low, here's an idea. How about tutors to help them? How about after-school programs where they can come in after school and get extra training on how to pass that test and then do well once they get into those programs? But no, let's just lower the bar for everybody, lower the standards for everybody, and everyone collectively can get slowly but surely dumber as we expect less and less out of more and more people.
Joy, you know, it's almost as if they're not actually interested in helping the people that they rely on to stay in power.
I think that's true, and I think one of the best examples of that is when the Democrats will say, well, you know, we can't have voter ID because blacks don't have ID cards. Okay, well, A, that's totally racist and ridiculous. You know, I see a lot of black people driving cars. Most of them have driver's licenses, so somehow they managed to make that happen. But even if you believe that there is a certain cohort of blacks or Hispanics or other minorities or whatever who don't have ID cards, that means these people are going to have trouble cashing checks, getting onto planes, getting onto trains, getting to government buildings. So here's an idea. How about getting ID cards for these people? How about saying, okay, we're going to have a real effort on whether it's going to be ID card month or maybe it's a holiday or whatever, and maybe you've got vans that go around to certain areas and say, look, if you don't have an ID card, we've got a camera here. We have a machine that will produce your ID card, and step in. It'll give you a free ID card. It'll take 10 minutes total, and you put them in strategic spots around the city or county or state, wherever they're needed. And the people who don't have ID cards finally can get ID cards and participate as fully operating and functioning adults in the society. Now, that's the reform. The Democrats are interested in solving the problem. They'd rather have the talking point. So they scream and yell about minorities not having ID cards while doing absolutely nothing to get them ID cards, which goes to show how cynical and, frankly, how evil these people are.
Yeah, and as long as the problem exists, they can campaign each season on being the savior for the problem. You know, what's the Republican – how does a Republican campaign against this Democratic mantra of, you know, this is racist and you're a something-ist or you're something-phobic. Because Republicans usually come out there and they like pound their fists on the table about policy, and most voters go yawn and they move on. It's all about emotion on the left and they try to rationalize and reason on the right. How did the Republican Party cut through that?
You know, I think a couple of good ways to do it. One is to say, look, these people think you're stupid and we don't, and point out how, as you say, each of these policies, one after the next, is based on the idea that somehow, you know, blacks and Hispanics just can't get their acts together. And say, look, you know, the Democrat Party doesn't have any faith in you, but we Republicans do. That's one thing. And the other question I've suggested people who are running for office as Republicans ought to ask is a very simple one. You know, go into a black union hall or black church, whatever, and ask the simple question, what have the Democrats done for you lately? And you look at the situation in the school system. Usually, you know, where are the rotten schools? Are they in the white neighborhoods or the black neighborhoods? Well, gee, they tend to be in the black neighborhoods. And which neighborhoods are thriving, the white areas or the black areas? Well, more so the white areas. Well, you know, so many of these places, you've got a Democrat mayor, Democrat city council, Democrat school board, Democrat police chief, et cetera. And you look at Baltimore as a perfect example of that. You've got black Democrats running that city, and they can scream and yell about Republican this and whitey that, but basically it's black Democrats running that city into the ground. And the GOP shouldn't be soft and quiet, apologetic. They ought to be very, very direct and very blunt and very honest about this. And just ask the question, what have the Democrats done for you lately?
Yeah, that really resembles St. Louis to a T, actually. DeRoy, It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being with us today. Good to talk to you.
Annie, great to talk to you, too. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. The Fox News contributor, DeRoy Murdoch, with us right there, making just a whole heap of sense all in a matter of 15 minutes. I love it. All right, let's take a quick break. Rodney Davis is going to join us in just a minute, and he has a little bit of an announcement to make. We've talked to him many times. I've asked him very point-blank questions about what his future endeavors are because, listen, the Democrats in the state of Illinois are threatened by Rodney Davis, and they etch-a-sketched a new legislative map, and they said, Rodney, you're going to not be in the district you're in anymore. What's he going to do next? Let's ask him in just a minute. Don't go away.
As a wise man, I couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing. Tired of living like a blind man. I'm sick of sight without a sense of feeling. And this is how you remind me. This is how you remind me of what I really.
The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe.
The Annie Fry Show, and, you know, that sound can only mean one thing. Only one possible reason why we would play the great, greatly esteemed Nickelback on The Annie Fry Show. And that is Congressman Rodney Davis is with us right now. Congressman, for you, we play Nickelback, and we're happy to do it, and we're happy that you're here.
Well, I am humbled and honored every time I hear the wonderful voice
sultry
and
sounds.
Tunes from Nickelback, but I think you ought to branch out and make it one of your bumper music songs on a regular basis.
I could. You can come on a regular basis. I honestly spent some time looking for a Nickelback Christmas album, and I don't think that it exists. That's like, that would merge my interests in this moment.
Do they celebrate Christmas in Canada? They're Canadian. Who knows?
I do not. I have to pick. I have a little beef with you. Can we talk about this on the air? Is that okay?
Yeah.
You don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, is the beef?
You're my congressman, right? Right now, You serve as my congressman.
Yep.
But maybe I have a beef with the Democrats. They drew you out of my district, didn't they?
They did. They put my hometown of Taylorville and my home county of Christian County in what is the 15th district. I'm the only member of Congress who's an incumbent that lives in that new 15th, and what they're trying to do is elect a Democrat that would then represent the Madison County area that you live in.
Mm. So they're coming after this area, and while I am very frustrated that they have taken you away from being able to represent me, I am very excited to hear your most recent announcement that I will let you make here about your decision to move forward in the future. I've asked you on the show straight up if you intend to run for governor, if you intend to run for something else, and you've made a decision about what your future holds, hopefully for the state of Illinois.
Yeah, I'm going to run in the congressional district that I live in, which is the 15th district. It's a district that stretches from eastern Madison County all the way over to the Indiana line and then around Champaign and back to the Mississippi River, north to Iowa, and south to western side of Madison County. I mean, it's a gerrymandered mess that the Democrats did, but I was open and honest with you and everyone who asked. I always said my first preference would be to have the ability to run for Congress. I really enjoy the job I'm doing. I think that we're doing well putting a conservative voice that's out here in Washington that's also governing at the same time. I'm disappointed the Democrats decided to gerrymander a lot of constituents like you into a new district, but you know what's going to be great is we're going to make sure a Republican gets elected there, and it's going to be fun watching them squirm like they did 10 years ago when they thought they'd elect a Democrat and not me.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at this map right now, and it is just it's just dumb. I see other people in other states being like, oh, we don't want gerrymandered maps. And I'm like, hold my beer. Look at this. This is so crazy what the state of Illinois and this Democrat tyranny that exists in this state, what they've been able to get away with so far. I like your attitude that you're going to take both of these districts and their games aren't going to win, at least here. But tell me what is in front of Illinois voters right now with what the Democrats, the maps that they've set forth and what they've decided to do. And you're the one who's always said this. You don't think that representatives should be able to pick their voters. Voters should be able to pick their representatives. Spot on.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with what you said. We needed redistricting reform. J.B. Pritzker promised redistricting reform when he ran for governor in 2018. He said he would not sign legislatively drawn maps. He struck out. He signed three of them, this gerrymandered congressional mess and the two gerrymandered messes that will make up the new General Assembly districts. Illinois Democrats, they don't even try to hide their bias. They don't even try to hide their gerrymandering. I mean, you look at this stuff, it is crazy. And these other states, like you said, they're worried about splitting counties. Oh, my Lord, there's only one full county in your new congressional district, the 13th district. The rest of them are all partial. So they don't follow the rules in states that they run, but they use Eric Holder and liberal front groups to make Republicans follow rules in states that they don't control.
It is so frustrating. Illinoisans are used to this. They expect it. And I fear some of that potential laziness that might set in for Illinois voters, that it's not even worth fighting against, causes us to lose battles that we could potentially win. What's your message to Illinois voters specifically going into 2022? You saying now that you are going to run for that 15th district, which they have placed your hometown of Taylorville in, winning that district and not letting them get their way with what they're trying to do here with these maps.
Well, the good news is I think they overreached. And Virginia's election results, New Jersey's election results, results in even Minnesota and Seattle, Washington showed that Republicans are winning in areas that Democrats won by wide margins in the election before. And these Democrats used Joe Biden numbers in the suburbs to base these districts. And they're not good enough for Democrats to win. We'll win that 13th district. I firmly believe we will do that, Annie. And I think we'll win the old Sherry Bustos district because Esther Joy King ran her out of D.C. and she retired. And Esther Joy King's going to make a great member of Congress. But we're going to fight like heck in the suburbs to get these suburbs back, just like the suburbs came back to Republicans like Glenn Youngkin just a few weeks ago. And we'll compete in districts up in the suburbs that Democrats are going to have to fight for their political lives.
We're speaking with Congressman Rodney Davis, currently representing Illinois' 13th district, has been redrawn into the 15th district, and he has announced his candidacy for that. I think it was Congressman Bost was on a few weeks ago, and we were talking about Nancy Pelosi and her future in the House of Representatives. Do you think that she's going to, you know, be the minority leader if the Republicans take the majority in 2022? Is she going to stick around for that?
Boy, I think she's used up her 9 political lives, and maybe she might be a double cat. You know, she has 18 political lives. If she stays and the Democrats reelect her as a minority leader, which she's a lame duck speaker, we're going to take this majority. The American people are speaking loud and clear right now with polling. They're speaking loud and clear with the messaging that we see from throughout this country that Republicans will win the House. If she decides to stay, I would be shocked. I think this is our chance to get her out of Congress for good and really good riddance, because Nancy Pelosi has turned this institution into an institution that locks the American people out and doesn't require members of Congress to actually come to D.C. and cast their vote anymore. So she doesn't even want members of Congress coming to work, but she also doesn't want the American public coming to the Capitol anymore. And that will change when we take over. And I'll run the committee to reopen this Capitol, the House Administration Committee, and I cannot wait when that day happens.
Let me play for you something that Peter Ducey reported yesterday from the White House about potential COVID restrictions the Biden administration
is proposing.
It sounds
like on Thursday, according to the Washington Post, and we have made contact with some White House folks. They're going to announce some of the strictest COVID regulations yet on American citizens, including, according to the Washington Post, requiring all Americans who return from abroad to quarantine in their house for up to 7 days. If that is something that they're going to propose in this speech on Thursday, there are a lot of questions. How do you enforce that? Do you send somebody to the door of somebody that just came back from overseas, regardless of vaccination status or testing status, to make sure that they are home?
We've heard from the Biden administration that lockdowns are not in the future if that's the scary word. You know, everybody does what they're supposed to do, essentially. They have a heavy hand with some of these tyrannical mandates and requirements that they've tried to put on the American people in the name of COVID. Does a Republican majority in the House of Representatives have any power to push back on any of this?
Oh, absolutely we do. As a matter of fact, I think you'll see a pushback on vaccine mandates this week. And frankly, these vaccine mandates are not working. And at the same time, we're also seeing questions of whether or not the efficacy of the vaccines that are in place right now are going to stop you from getting or spreading COVID in the future. We've got therapeutics that have been developed and are being used right now and that are being developed and hopefully going to be used that if somebody gets sick, they can be treated. These are the types of things that we used to celebrate in America. But with COVID, all bets are off. And the Democrats in control of the federal government, state government in Illinois, they've decided that they're going to not lose control. And if the Biden administration, I mean, I'm glad I'm not traveling overseas over the next few weeks, but I can't imagine families who saved up during this time of inflationary pressures where their money's not going as far. And they want to go overseas and now they're going to be told they can't come back home and make money in their job or open their store after they've taken their family on a trip for Christmas or for New Year's. If Joe Biden thinks that they were going to keep the majority or even lose it by a small margin, I think the American people are going to say enough's enough and elect a huge number of Republicans in the next election.
Well, I sure hope so. Speaking with Congressman Rodney Davis, last question before I let you go, and we do appreciate your time here. It seems like there should be some bipartisanship, some common sense bipartisanship surrounding these mandates and the idea of liberty in this country. And the tribalism, I think, is what turns a lot of the people in the middle, the people who often decide elections, that turns them off. Are mandates a Republican-Democrat issue? Is it really that simple?
Not at all. It's very frustrating. My wife's a healthcare worker, and all of us had healthcare workers are heroes signs. Well, many of those same healthcare workers that worked in the height of the pandemic when we didn't know a lot about this disease, we didn't know a lot about the virus, and they were at their job every day. They didn't get a chance to quarantine when they got home from work after, in my wife's case, transporting COVID patients from room to room in many cases. And now they're being told if their doctor says, maybe you don't want to get a vaccine, maybe you're young, you want to have a baby, we just don't know. This is the only virus or disease in American history that I can remember that the doctor-patient relationship is secondary to what the politicians think. And then, frankly, we've got to look at this disease as a risk management issue. We know more about the disease. We know the survivability. We know the efficacy of the therapeutics and the vaccines that are on the market right now. And instead, our leaders in Illinois and our leaders in Washington, they still want to think of things as a zero tolerance. Remember, the South African doctors who are in the epicenter of this new variant have said, hang on a second, we're not seeing a lot of hospitalizations here. We're seeing that mild cases are part of this variant. But instead, the Biden administration uses that to lock down America and to punish hardworking Americans who want to take their families overseas for Christmas and the holidays. They're going to get a rude awakening at the ballot box again, Annie. I firmly believe that.
Well, I long for the day where we can actually do policy and not just politics all the time. And I don't know, I don't really know what magic wand has to be waved in order to make that happen. But I am glad that you have announced that you are still advocating for your representation in Congress. It's needed, and I'm grateful for it. I'm sad. I guess, looking at the map, I wouldn't have to move terribly far to be back in your district, which is the crazy part of it. But thank you for coming on the show and making that announcement here. We appreciate that, and we will continue to follow your campaign as it unfolds.
You've been a great friend, and I always enjoy talking with you. And we'll always play a game now after Nickelback. Is how many miles does it take Davis to drive from the eastern part of Madison County in his district to the western part without leaving my district. It'd be about 250 miles.
That is something else. Man, Illinois, wake up. Take your state back. We appreciate you, Congressman. Thank you so much.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Congressman Rodney Davis representing the 13th District of Illinois, which is my district. They have drawn him out of right across the river. Many of you who are listening right now in the state of Illinois may have had Rodney Davis as your representative, and maybe not any longer. And they did that. Okay, this is the way it works. Our district in Madison County, which includes SIUE and, you know, Metro East, the east side of St. Louis, so they think suburban and city folk, stretches all the way up to where? Champaign. Because guess what's up there? More college liberals. That's what they think. So they think they're going to steal the 13th from common sense voters. I don't know who's going to run in that race, but I encourage you to pay very close attention and make them pay with your vote. As I said to Jory Murdoch before, if they do the finger dipping thing, I swear, Illinois is going to be like, well, you've got 10 fingers. You could dip that thing 10 times. That finger hasn't been dipped. Let's do that one. How do we know if you voted or not? It's ridiculous. All right, let's take a quick break. We're going to do some more conversation here. I'm going to read some of these responses. We've talked a lot about the SCOTUS hearing today on abortion. But also, there's big, I've tried really hard not to say Omicron or whatever it is. My favorite tweet on it is that it's an anagram for moronic. Like, I've looked at it. Have you seen that?
I've seen that.
Moronic.
Yes.
So I'm right there with you on that one. There's a case in California, a confirmed case in California. Are we terrified? I'm not. Are you? Of course not. We'll be back in just a minute. Don't go away. I've been down into
the bottom of every bottle. You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
I get up, I get down, and I'm jumping around, and the rumpus and ruckus are comfortable now.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. But I'm thinking it's find the podcast, on-demand audio, and more at 971talk.com/Annie.
An apartment across from the park, but quinoa in my fridge, still I'm not feeling grand. Been a hell of a ride, but I'm thinking it's time to go.
Here we go.
So put your best face.
I realize that no one is clairvoyant, but I think it's fair to say that the experts who have been advising you about the future rate of inflation have pretty much the same credibility as those late night psychic hotlines you see on TV.
You know what?
Call me now for your free reading.
It's funny. It makes me laugh.
Who asked you to go out of town? The stupid young one or the married one?
The married one.
That's what me thought. Don't go. You hear me? And you know what? You're not listening to me because I see you going. I see you going. I'm just telling you, I'm trying to help you to avoid the heartache. Don't go blindly through life. Let me use the power of the tarot to show you the way. Call me now for your free reading.
What? She went to jail, didn't she?
I don't know if she went to jail or not, but that's Google worthy.
Call me now for your free reading. I think she did. I think she got in trouble for fraud.
I know the whole thing was fraud.
I know it's shocking to everyone. You'd think she would have seen that coming.
Yeah.
Miss Cleo. Jail. Let's see what the Google says. Oh, she died at 53.
Oh.
I never went to jail. This is a story from, this is from NPR, where I get all my news. The headline is Miss Cleo, fortune teller of 90s TV fame, dies at 53. So she died in 2016. Miss Cleo, the television psychic, indelibly, great word, fixed in the memories of 90s TV watchers, died Tuesday in Palm Beach, Florida. She had cancer. She was 53. She said the cards never lie. Questioning soul, she called darling or baby or honey. Call me today, she'd intone with a broad smile and a Jamaican. Oh, I can't read that word. That's French. Patois of dubious authenticity. It's This is an NPR article. This is over my head. Let's face it. If you want NPR, you're not listening to me right now anyway.
They're saying that her accent was sus.
And that's for the little kids who know what the word sus means. I mean, everybody can probably infer. Where did this... It said here, it quoted her saying, I did not go to jail. Do you remember her?
I spent many a night whenever I was in high school awake, not being able to fall asleep, and only having basic TV, listening to Miss Cleo's infomercials.
Yeah, we all had just basic. I mean, I don't remember. I think we had what was referred to as DSS. Do you remember that? It was like the first wave, I think, of satellite TV that didn't require you to have like a 7 foot in diameter
yes.
satellite dish, which I knew people who had that.
My grandparents had that.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's moving now.
We went into the country. We lived in the country and we couldn't ever get cable.
Right.
I mean, legitimately, my parents legitimately got cable late this summer for the first time in forever.
My parents,
that's unbelievable.
My parents still don't have cable where they live.
Like, they can't get it.
They can't
yeah,
get it.
Yeah, they were not able to get it in my parents'
And they
house.
Won't pay for Dish or anything like that, so they just go with regular TV.
The Federal Trade Commission filed a complaint against the Psychic Readers Network, the company behind the, quote, Miss Cleo hotline, for telling viewers they would get a, quote, free reading and then charging them. So it was a scam. It wasn't that her readings were fraudulent. She was just scamming people.
She was lying about them being free.
The company also bullied people into paying charges they weren't legally obligated to pay. Quote, you don't need a crystal ball to know that the FTC will continue to stop unfair and deceptive trade practices. Quote, I'm no psychic, but I can foresee this. If you make deceptive claims, there's an FTC action in your future. They said when it's settled. While Miss Cleo was never alleged to be the mastermind of the enterprise, she was undeniably its embodiment. For years afterward, people pinned the fraud on her and even claimed she served prison time for it. Quote, I never went to jail. I didn't own the company, she told Vice in 2014 to clear the record. And the hundred millions of dollars PRN raked in, Harris said she had, quote, a bad contract, end quote, and made a fraction of the money that her likeness brought in. So she kind of got scammed, too.
Yeah.
The scammer's going to scam.
Yep. I somewhere remember reading that, like, she was even just like an actress playing a part. Like, she's an actress and that was her trade, and she just was acting like Miss Cleo. Miss Cleo was never a real person or anything like that.
Call me now for your free reading.
I don't know. Do people, I mean, I guess people do go see psychics and get tarot cards read. I haven't done that, but I can't imagine being up at 2 a.m. being like, I just really need to know the meaning of life and calling Miss Cleo. Can't imagine doing that.
No.
And I don't know why, but hearing her makes me smile. I'm like, aw. I remember that.
It's nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Takes me back.
I asked earlier in the show, I was talking about the conundrum we have. We've gotten most of the inside of my house decorated. We need to do the outside of my house, and we have a two-story house. The back is a walkout basement, so it's almost like, you know, like it is like a three-story drop.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this comes as a shock to a lot of you, but I love Christmas and I love celebrating Christmas and I love basking in Christmas. It is a happy time. And I look in my life for things that bring happiness in because I feel steeped in muck on a regular basis because of what I do here, which is one of the main reasons why I try not to, you know, if you're going to spend 3 hours with me on an afternoon or 15 minutes or five, all of which I'm grateful for, I try not to make it incendiary every day. Where it's like you are gripping your steering wheel so tight because what I'm talking about is enraging you. I don't want to do that. A lot of times the content is enraging, and I might be enraged about it, but how do we get from point A at noon to point B at 3, and I don't make you more stressed by the time you're done here? I look for things that make me happy. Christmas is one of those things. I love Christmas lights on my house. We have, you know, we line the edges of our house with Christmas lights. My husband crawls up on the roof. And he puts them up. Last year, he did not because it was COVID and I was pregnant. And that was two good enough reasons for us to be like, nah, we're just going to put this off. Should I get really worried about it? And he's like, it's okay, Annie, just relax. Like, he kind of insinuates that I'm being a little overbearingly protective or worrisome, which is standard issue me. So that's really not out of character. I don't know if I should be that worried about it and I should just let him do it, or if I should say, you know what? No, let's just do like ground level stuff and be done with it. Somebody suggested on the chat, and I'm going to go find it here, because it was a great suggestion. We had people commenting on the Annie Fry YouTube channel and the Annie Fry Show Facebook page about what we should do and how to fix it. And it was Brian on YouTube that said, pay Wiggins to get up on the roof and hang Christmas lights.
That's a brilliant idea.
He'd probably do it for $10.
Yeah.
And some candy.
And some gummy bears.
Yeah. Maybe just gummy bears. Well, I need a gummy bear sponsor. I don't know. What's your recommendation? You had a thought.
I don't like heights. But my thought was, is if you really want the lights, but you're worried about Jared, why not get like a, they make anchor systems where you can, you
know. How does that work?
Tie them off. Well, it ties off on one area, and then that way if you fall, you bounce off the side of the house and hang there by a rope instead of bouncing off the ground below it.
Better.
Yeah. Yeah, I say bounce. I mean,
it's a step up.
You're probably not going to seriously hurt yourself if you do that unless like you bounce off a window or something like that. But I think the concern's legit. I mean, 3 stories is a long way up to me.
It's actually a long way down.
It looks way higher when you're up on it than it does from down below. And then, like, the unique thing about Christmas lights is you're not working on the top of your house. You're working on the edge of the roof.
I also really need the gutters cleaned out, which it's like, while he's up there, should he do that? If anybody knows a really good gutter cleaning company, please let me know. And do they put up Christmas lights? I will pay. I've looked into it, some of the light installations, because you have to buy the lights and everything from them on the first go. That is some pricey stuff.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm torn. Please comment. Tommy on Facebook says, get a safety harness. Let him do his thing. I see what you're saying there. Man stuff, right? All right. Let's take a quick break. We got a full open hour coming up. Hope you join us. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!